check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, it's the Racing Boats Weekend Postcast. Welcome along, I'm Bruce Millington. This week, joining me to look ahead to a sizzling weekend of action on the course and hopefully peace and quiet off it will be Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers, Rob Catterson. The highlight of the weekend is the Alshacab Lockinge at Newbury. 16 runners, very, very competitive. We've also got Newmarket, there's loads of other meetings on. And in Ireland on Sunday, the focus switches to Naas, where there is some decent stuff. We will start, though, with the Lockinge at Newbury, the Alshacab Lockinge, 3:40 on Saturday. Like I say, 16 runners, so hopefully some enhanced each-way action. Rob, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. So we're 4 places on the Lockinge, and we make Rhododendron the marginal favourite at 137. The 2 Lamato, Adabe, who's 2 from 2 this season, is 6s. Beat the Bank is 7s. We're 10-1 Lancaster Bomber and Zabiel Prince, and we're 14s bar.
This is almost like a big handicap, DJ, isn't it? Normally there's a couple of real quality ones that dominate the market, but this is wide open, isn't it? What do you make of it?
It is completely wide open. I suppose it's interesting from a punting perspective in that so many have chances. But I went back through the recent list of winners and what to rate it going into the race. Ribchester 1-2-2, Knight of Thunder 1-2-1, Olympic Glory 1-2-5, Farr 1-2-4, Frankel 1-3-6, Camphor Cliffs 1-2-7, and Paco Boy 1-2-4. The highest rated runners in this year's renewal are Deauville, who's 18-1, 119, Le Breeze of Breeze 16-1, 119, and Lamato 119 as well, who's 9-2. So that gives you a kind of a context of just how poor a renewal it is. There is no absolute superstar in it, but it's still intriguing.
Yeah, but I don't think it is poor. It's not ground quality, but it's an intriguing betting race. So
yeah,
who
absolutely
wins it?
I think the most likely winner is Lamato. He's only tried a mile twice, and he tried it in this race 2 years ago, and it was probably his unluckiest run in that we don't know for sure whether he stayed or not, because he just was denied a clear run twice at crucial stages. Harry Bentley rode him that day again. Like 2 furlongs out, he was denied a clear run. And he was beaten 2.5 lengths by Berlado. He was sent off favoured that day. And the only other time he tried it was in Santa Anita later on that season. I think he's worth another try at it. I think he is the potential. I know we couldn't really call him potential star anymore because he's 6. But I think he is the most likely winner. The one I'm going to chance, though, at a huge price is Dutch Connection. He's only raced, I think, 112 now, and his best days probably are behind him. But I think it could be that type of a race where you've had a shock. Charlie Hills' team are in cracking form at the minute. I think 5 of his last 22 runners have won. He had 2 out of 3 yesterday. And I just think Dutch Connection with Jamie Spencer booked. I don't think he's ever ridden him before, but he's a real Jamie Spencer type. I just think if you go back to his form, his Lennox Stake win over Home of the Brave and Gifted Master, I know that was 2 summers ago, but that brings him into the mix. He was rated 116 at the time, and he's 40-1 in places. I think he'd run better than a 40-1 shot, so I'm going to chance Dutch Connection at 40-1, but I think Lamato is the most likely winner.
Do you like Dutch Connection, Kills?
No, I don't give it a prayer. I mean, I never ever, you know, should never ever slag anyone off for tipping up an outsider because, you know, but, you know, they're going to have a lot of negatives against them, and they can still run well, but it wasn't one that came across my radar, that's for sure.
Will you buy DJ Pints for life?
Life, yeah, oh God, and in the next life as well, which he
believes. Let him off. Let him off for the life.
It's okay, because I'm coming back as a rat.
Yeah.
Who wins, Kills?
Yeah, I will let you off. Right, anyway. Look, Rhododendron's favourite. She only won 1 race out of 6 against her own sex last year. I mean, you know, so that's how open this race is. There isn't a superstar, but it doesn't matter. It's a fantastic betting heat. Now, the one I like is Lancaster Bomber. He didn't win it. He didn't win at all last year. But when he ran on fast ground, he finished 4th in the 2000 Guineas. He finished 2nd, beaten a length by Barney Roy in the St James's Palace. Now, Barney Roy would be evens to beat this lot. He was 2nd in the Woodbine Mile. He was 2nd in the Breeders' Cup Mile. And he was 5th in Hong Kong Vase. He's been around the world, run really, really well on fast ground, and he's a double-figure price. He's a double-figure price because Ryan Moore's chosen to ride Rhododendron, or we assume he had the choice. But I think he's a cracking each-way bet, and, you know, especially with Paddy Power 4 places.
OK, Lancaster Bomber for Keels, Dutch Connection for DJ. Rob Catterson, who's your selection?
Yeah, similar line to Keels, or similar angle to Keels. I found it hard to fancy any of the principles. And I just looking for value. And you come to Sudowa. Now, I never thought I'd be tipping him up for a Lockinge, but he's obviously been a very versatile horse. He's a seven-year-old. No seven-year-old has ever won the Lockinge. But you look at his last three runs, and there was only three runs over a mile. He won a Group 2 in Leopardstown. Then he went to Keeneland and won a Group 1. And he was arguably very unlucky when he was fourth, only beaten a length and a quarter in the Breeders' Cup mile. It's hard to fancy a seven-year-old for a race like this, but he's 20-1. He's getting better with age, and the key to him might now be a mile. And he'll have no doubt seeing out the mile better than most. So the more I think about it, the more I fancy him about 20s.
He was the rag that was on my radar, actually, the outsider. Yeah. Very interesting.
Kills, would you put me off back in Le Brice Breeze?
I wouldn't put you off anything at a price, to be honest. I mean, the one I really don't like at the front of betting is a day, surely he hasn't run on fast ground at all, and he was taken out of a Yarmouth Maiden because of good ground last year. So he's going to be really fast tomorrow.
Okay, it's going to be an interesting race. That we'll see how that goes. Okay, the first of the TV races at Newbury is the 150. It's the Shalar Carnarvon Stakes. What's the latest betting, Rob?
Okay, so we're 11-4 about Ectidar, 7-2 Murillo, 6 is Breathless Times and Juliet Capulet, 7's Card Sharp and Shababi, 12's Bar.
Kills, you got this one sussed?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Juliet Capulet, trained by John Gosden. Raced exclusively over 7 furlong last year and only just seemed to get home. When she ran in the Rockville, she won the Rockville, beat Nialetti, ran a race post rating of 110. She looked like she was going to win 3 lengths approaching the final furlong, but she just tied up and nearly got caught. He's only entered her in Group 1 sprints this year. She's in the Commonwealth Cup, she's in the July Cup. She's bred to be a sprinter, both sides of the pedigree, and I think she's going to be a sprinter on this fast ground, and I would make a favourite.
Ooh, Juliet Capulet, a strong selection for Kills. Rob, what's your view?
Yeah, I like Murillo. He's taken, obviously, a big step down in class. He was a solid Group 2 horse last season, and he also improved quite a bit from his first run last season. So I thought Murillo at 7-2 was solid.
And DJ?
we have a tri-cast here, because I'm going to go for Ectidar. If you remember, Ectidar is the horse, one of many that Frank Hickey was waxing lyrical about ahead of a run at Kempton last September. He was getting a couple of wheelbarrows out for this Ectidar. Finished fourth that day to Invincible Army. Obviously, Invincible Army turned out to be something a little bit special, as we found out in the Pavilion Stakes at Ascot earlier this month. And I thought that was a cracking run from Ectidar. I think that's the best piece of form in the race. Like, they made their challenges on different parts of the track at Ascot. Invincible Army was well on top of the line, but he did drift out to quite a decent price in running that day because Ectidar looked like he had got first run on him. I thought he just got a little bit tired, maybe 100, 150 yards from the line. I think there's plenty of improvement to come, and if there is a Group 1 sprinter in the lineup, I think it's Ectidar.
Okay, the 225, the Al Rayyan Stakes, better known as the Aston Park Stakes. Hot favourite here, Rob.
Absolutely, yeah, he's going to be the hottest favourite of the afternoon. 8-13 Crystal Ocean, we're 4-1 Raheen House, 5 second step and 10's Bar.
And Rob, can we look beyond the jolly?
Unfortunately not. It's very hard to get away from. Like, his run in the Ledger was brilliant last year, and 4 of the first 5 home in that race have franked the form. Like, it's just so hard to see him getting beat. He's already won this season. You'd be hoping, like, at some stage he might be close to even money tomorrow, but if anything, you could get shorter than 8-13.
David Jennings, you're going to look beyond him?
No, just incredibly straightforward. Crystal Ocean beat second step, so if you don't want to back Crystal Ocean, back second step without.
Okay, and Kills?
No, can't argue. He's a half, really. He's very closely related to Hillstar and a half to Crystal Capella. They all improve in age. One over Marlon 2 to start this season. Marlon half is far better suited. It'll just win.
Will you be having a bet?
No.
Yes, you will. No. You will?
No, I won't. There's nothing to bet. I don't bet odds on shots.
Well, you might have forecast distances bet.
No, don't do that anymore.
Okay, you will definitely be having a bet on the 3 o'clock, though, because this is your race. This is the race which is the launch pad of champions. It's the Al Zabara London Gold Cup Handicap. We'll get the betting from Rob, and then Kills can tell us why this is such an important race to watch for the rest of the season and beyond.
Right, so we're 130 about Massar, 6 is Dukan, 13-2 Mekong, Chief Ironside is 7-1 with He's Amazing, we're 8-1 Glen Cadam Master, and we're 10's Bar.
Now, Kills, you don't have a Racing Post horse tracker, do you? But people who do, and plenty of us do, there's going to be some horses to fill up from here, isn't there? Tell us why the London Gold Cup is so
without
important.
Without a doubt. I mean, this race used to only be worth about 20 grand as well, but it's still produced winner after winner. It's produced Royal Ascot winners, group winners, Group 1 winners, Melbourne Cup winner, a Dubai World Cup winner in the past, and it almost never lets you down. I mean, Defoe won the race last year. The only race he's lost since then is in St. Ledger. Five of the first six home have won 18 times between them since. Loyal Promise of Martin Meads is very interesting to me. He only started at the beginning of this year. He was second to Gronkowski. He was already rated 9-4 then and was being primed for the Kentucky Derby. That was his debut. He then won very easily from last to first at Wolverhampton. And then he finished third in the novice race at Windsor last time. I think the first three in that race are going to be really good. Now, the winner actually got beat yesterday, but hated the fast ground, hung all over the place and still nearly got there, giving £7 to a Gosden-trained winner. So I still think it's a really solid piece of form. He's got it in the King Edward VII Stakes. It will improve for fast ground as well, and I think it'll go well.
Okay. DJ, what's your view of this one?
I really like one here, Bruce. I like Massar. I thought the performance at Doncaster was far more impressive than the winning margin, and everything about the race told me that Massar is going to improve leaps and bounds. Like, he ran against Magnificent from the Richard Hannan stable, and Magnificent is still a maiden, but is a pretty good maiden. I think he was rated 85 that day, but I think he went up to 91, and he completely got first run. Sean Levy got first run on David Egan, who was riding Massar. But so David had to wait and wait for a couple of strides, and there could have been a few crucial strides, but the two of them pulled six lengths clear of a decent field, I thought, that day at Doncaster. I had been told going into that race by a very, very shrewd judge that Massar was held in the highest regard. They thought he could be a similar type of sort to Defoe. Now, he has to go and do it. And if you go back through his performances, he was beaten at Wolverhampton on the all-weather back in April. You can forget about that. He was drawn wide, too keen, didn't get any cover. Very impressive when he won at Lingfield last November, and the time before that he was third in a cracking maiden at Newmarket behind Key Victory and Kayser, both who are rated pretty highly now. Key Victory is still unbeaten. I think Massar is just the ideal Roger Varian type for this race. Very similar profile to last year's winner in that he was rated 88 going into the race at Doncaster. He's 96 now. Last year Defoe was 88 before he won at Newbury, or before he won at Newmarket. Then he was 98 going into this race. I think he's the ideal type for a race, and I think you'll see huge improvement from Massar now that he steps up two furlongs from a mile to a mile two. So confident vote for Massar for me, Bruce.
Okay, and don't forget that is the Massar that is spelled MASSARR, not the one spelled MASAR that finished third in the Guineas. Rob, what's your view on the London Gold Cup?
Yeah, we could be getting the tricast again here. Massar, he's probably the potential star in the lineup, but I thought Mark Johnson's horse towards the bottom might be value Communique. He ran against Ducan in the Novice Stakes last season. He was only beaten the length. Now, he hasn't won since, but he's run well in his two subsequent runs, and he's now £10 better off. He's got an entry into Queen's Vase as well, and he looks just a typical Mark Johnson stare. And, of course, his horses are flying. Eight of his last nine have won or been placed. So I just thought about 10s. Communique with SDS on board might be value.
OK, we're off to Newmarket next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Three live ITV races at Newmarket. Start with the 205, the Betway Fairway Stakes. Just the three runners. How do you bet, Rob Catterson?
Okay, so we're 8-13 about Old Persian. Department of War is 15-8. And overnight support for Courthouse, 9s-5 since last night.
People back in the outsider of three. DJ, who wins?
Oh, I think Old Persian will win, Bruce. This again, this is the key form line for my Massar. Old Persian was second to Key Victory, who was probably my only winner that week when I was on the podcast. That won the Listed race, the Havana Gold Newmarket Stakes. And that was a lovely run, pulled nicely clear of Highbrow in third. Graffiti Master was fourth. I think Key Victory and Old Persian are two Godolphin horses with a big futures. And yeah, he's odds on, but I think he'll win.
Kills.
Yeah, trainer said he expected Key Victory to beat Old Persian last time, and I think that means he probably thinks Old Persian has his limitations. He is, on official ratings, he's £13 clear of Courthouse. So, you know, he deserves to be odds on, but I think Courthouse is better than that. He was second to Gronkowski at Kempton, and he'd have gone very close to winning if he hadn't been snatched up by the winner inside the last furlong. He's a better horse than a 92. I can see why he's been backed. I definitely have him as second favourite. You know, the Richard Annan thing, Department of War, has won one maiden, one bad maiden at Nottingham, and he's the price he is because he's unexposed and unbeaten. But I would definitely have Courthouse as second favourite, and I still think there's some mileage in the price.
Rob, can we get three different tips on a three-runner race?
not this time, no. Backup Everton DJ said about Old Persian, double him up with Crystal Ocean, and it's about a 7-4 winning double.
Okay, the 240 at Newmarket's the Betway King Charles II stakes. What's the latest from Paddy Power?
Okay, overnight support for Orem, so he's now 2-1 joint favourite with Purser. We're 130 Mutakeb, 9-2 Great Prospector, and the outsider of 5 is Ambient.
We'll stick with you, Rob.
Yeah, I like Mutakeb. He looks the most progressive. He was an eye catcher on debut, when he still managed to win it. And then he was unlucky at Doncaster. I just have a feeling that the best might be still to come. He holds an entry in the St James's Palace Stakes, so they obviously reckon he could be quite a bit better than listed class, so expect money to come from Mutakeb from 130, maybe to shorter than that.
Kills, what's your verdict?
Yeah, I was initially interested in it. I just went in Mutakeb, and I went at the trainer quotes, and he said that Mutakeb relished the soft ground when he ran at Yarmouth, and it was on the soft side of Doncaster when he was second to Speaking Colours. Don't think he was actually unlucky that day myself. He didn't get stopped in his run or anything. He just finished too late, but I just worry about it. This is going to be pretty fast ground at Newmarket, and Purser's got the form in the book. He's got the best form. He beat Symbolisation, he won a handicap off a mark of 100 next time. He beat him by neck last time out. I think the third was beating 10 lengths, went close to the handicap of 95 next time out, and Aram's got to make a huge jump from running a month ago in a maiden. Now, he did get a really good talk up from Charlie Appleby afterwards, and probably is quite good, but I'll go with the form in the book.
DJ?
Putting agree more. The form is in the book with Purser. And I think he's been quite well placed by John Gosling. I think John realises, you know, he's no...
Oh, he'd be pleased to know that you think he's quite good at placing horses, DJ. That's praise
indeed. Yeah, I could be his racing manager, perhaps. I just think, as Paul said, like, Orem, a lot of these Charlie Appleby horses are ready first time. And I don't know what the strike rate is, but I think his first time out strike rate is quite good. Am I right, Paul?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I couldn't tell you the figures off the top.
Phew, I was setting myself up for a fall there now. But I think Purser, you know, if you go through his form, it all seems to stack up quite nicely. Even the run behind Massar at Sandown last year, he's only beaten 3¾ lengths that day and got an awful passage through that race. That looked a decent Solario Stakes, I thought. And he's rated 107. He's been there, he's done it. Mutakeb and Orem both have to prove that they're up to that standard. At the moment, neither of them have proved that they're even 100 horses, never mind 107 horses. So I'm with Paul. I think you have to go with the form in the book with Purser.
Okay, the toughest race of the day at Newmarket potentially is the 3:15, the Betway Handicap. What's the latest betting, Rob Catterson?
Yeah, we're four places on this as well. We're 13-2 co-favourites. Yafta, Wahoo and Show Me the Doe, who's been the money horse overnight. Sevens then, Trixie Spirit. 8-1, Mayasa. Tens, Red Roman, Rebel Streak and Midsummer Night. And we're 12s bar.
Kills, you seeing this nice and clearly?
No, not really. I mean, I did fancy two at the start of the week when there was a bigger field. One of them still in there, Red Roman. He was fourth in the Red Car 2-year-old trophy. Looking at his form, I am a little bit concerned about the ground. I mean, there's no proof that he hasn't, that he won't handle fast ground. He just hasn't tried it enough times. The other one was Neola, trained by Mick Shannon, who I thought would run well, but he relies on Trixie Spirit. And I looked at her. She's quite interesting. She picked up really well at Bath last time on a low handicap mark. They'd be my two against the field, but not a lot of confidence.
Rob, are you confident here?
No, very trappy. The trappiest race of the day, as you said. Show Me the Doe was the one I thought might be the value. Twice has run this season, but both over five and was doing his best work late on. His only win has been over 6 furlongs, so I think the return to six will be right up a street. And Richard Fahey's won this twice in recent years, so not surprising the money has come for him.
And how about you, Mr. Jennings?
I am going to try a flyer here, Bruce, with 9 Below 0, trained by your buddy, Rafe Beckett. He's the trainer you like, isn't he?
Oh, of course he is, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I've had a tattoo done across my back last week.
You weren't backing me up there.
It's very nice. No, yeah. I gave it a fist pump. Look back on the video.
See, I can't see.
One of many gestures I make when you're talking.
Yeah, I can only imagine. 9 Below 0. Like, the last run at Salisbury was on heavy ground, and it was embarrassing, really, to be honest with you. To be beaten 47 lengths in a flat race over 6 furlongs, I think I could even finish within 47 lengths of Mr. Top Hat that day, and as you know, I'm not very quick. But if you go back through his form on fast ground, now he did completely lose the plot last season, so there is a chance that the plot has been lost. But he went into the Norfolk last season as a single figure price. He had beaten Midsummer Night in a Windsor race and was very impressive in Salisbury in his debut too, where he beat Mockatill. I wonder, is this the time of year for him? Like, he could just be a sprinter worth following now off 87. Like, if you'd have said going into the Norfolk last season that this time next year 9 below 0 will be rated 87, and your old buddy, old pal Rafe Beckett, two of his last four runners have won, which I presume you've backed both of them, Bruce.
Just in general.
Yeah.
He's much more impressive than that, mate. He's been absolutely flying lately. Two out of the last four. You're not exactly Kevin Pullin, are you?
Well, in the last 2
depth
days.
Depth of research.
I know.
How long did it take to suss that out?
Time Change won the handicap at Salisbury that was on the
ITV. Yeah, he's flying, mate. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Edge of the World won a race, I think, at Jarmuth as well. But his horses are flying, and I know that 9 below 0 was held in the highest regard at the start of last season. And I just think off 87, like, there was the day. This is last chance saloon for 9 below 0, but there's 20s out there. I know he's only 12s or pairs, but there's 20s out there. He could be a plunge horse, and I'm retaining the faith. As you know, Bruce, forgiveness is my best trade.
Absolutely, mate. You make a very good case. I think that was your best tip for quite some time. Good luck there. Right then, it is roundup time. We've got all the rest of the Newbury and the Newmarket cards. We've got some listed races at Navan, and there's also Bangor, Thirsk, Uttoxeter and Doncaster. Plenty to go at. Kills has got a very long list. Rob Katz and Newton start, and then you've probably got time to go and make yourself a spot of lunch while DJ and Kills go through theirs.
Yeah, just a three for me, and they're all at Navan. 2:30 Coral Beach. He was a big eye catcher behind the stable companion Fairyland at Nace. He might have beaten him if he'd got a clear run. He'll win that. Mr. Trader in the 3:35. His last four runs haven't been great, but if you go back to his two-year-old form, he'd have a big chance here, and he takes a big step down in company. So I think he's off a winnable mark of 92. And in the list of the eight stakes, it's pretty obvious, but Southern France, he's all about stamina. He was well backed, obviously, when he won. I think he won last weekend. He looks at a possible Queen's Vase horse down the line. He should win that for Aidan.
Okay, now guys, less is more. We want the name of the horse, the course and the time, and then a very short reason why they should back him. We'll start with you, DJ.
Mine is very short, actually, Bruce. You'll be glad to know. I cannot wait to back Blue Uluru in the 3:35 at Navan. It's a 5 furlong handicap. He's off a mark of 89, and I got the impression, I just got the impression that it was one ride Colin Keane would love to have back at Dundalk last time. It was beaten ahead by Red Persian. I thought he probably should have won the race. It was a decent little contest for Dundalk in April, and it was rated 93 in the middle of last year. It's only 89 now. Colin's not riding. I don't know if he's in England or if he's suspended, but Gary Carroll takes the ride, and Blue Uluru, I think, will win the 3:35 at Navan, and I'm almost certain, yeah, I'm right, he won handicap over course and distance last season as well, so he has course form. And there was one other one that was running at Navan as well. It is in, I'll just get the time for you because I know you're a stickler for time, Bruce.
Well, it is quite helpful, isn't it? So that listeners and viewers know which race you're talking about.
Oh, hugely, yeah. This is one thing I certainly agree with, John. It's in the 3:05, and it is a horse called Canford Art, trained by Peter Fahey, ridden by Kevin Manning. I think that Canford Art has only ran twice. It's got a mark of 77, and it was second to Bora Step, beat It's All a Joke in a maiden at Dundalk, has never ran anywhere but Dundalk. But if anybody gets a chance, right, have a look at Camford Art's last race on At The Races or whatever site you can look at, or on our website. How the horse did not win.
Anything else you want to promote?
How this filly did not win. It's like, you know when you back a horse and they're coming up to the line, you go, oh, that's going to win by half a length or a length, and then it gets done on the line and you're just scratching your head. It was like Champagne Fever in the Arkle a couple of years ago. Trade at 101, but I think Canford Art will win the 3:05 and Blue Uluru will win the 3:35, and watch all your replays in At The Races. Or on racingbows.com. I meant to say rates and both.
Is he resigning? Have they made him an offer? Christ, you imagine the David Jennings show on ATR. Christ, it lasts 12 hours, wouldn't it? Dear Kills, that's a long old list. Go on,
yeah, it's a long list, but I'll deliver it far more quickly than he just did. Right, there's two horses at Newmarket. They're just well handicapped and old form, and there's reason for thinking they can come back. First of all, Go Far in the 4:25. He's run to a racing post rating of 104, 101 and 101 first time out. for the last 3 years. He's returns after a bad season last year, off a mark of 90. He is going up a 7 furlong for the first time in a while, but at his age, he might well get it and need it. So Go Far, 4.25. In the 5.30, Oh So Sassy, trained by Chris Wall, didn't run any sort of race at Doncaster last time out, but likes Newmarket, another horse dropped right down the handicap. He rarely gets a chance to book William Buick. 9 of his 26 rides are finishing the first two, 6 of them winning. Oh So Sassy, forecast to be about 6-7-1. I think that would be reasonable. Off to Newbury, we've got Crystal Ocean's half-sister, Crystal Hope, running in a 4.50, which is probably the last Oaks trial. She won very, she absolutely slammed give and take at Sandown, who's just won the Musadora. It's going to be quite a competitive race because Stream Song's in that. That's a half-sister, a journey of John Gosden's, though he freely admits that one's a nutter. I think Chris Lochan will go very well. And in the 5.25, Pouvoir Magique, who I put up for the Victoria Cup.
Oh, yeah, pulled out.
Last week. Pulled out lame, so it obviously wasn't that bad. The fact that he's out that quick, I'd imagine Gosden wants to get it to go right up the handicap so he can get in some of the better races over a mile and 7 furlongs. So that would go well there. At Thirsk, just a horse that I've been backing a few times. I have promised to kick Cliff horses out the window, but Archie has gone to Richard Spencer as his second ride in run in first time cheek pieces. I ran okay in fifth last time. He's dropped way down the rates. I think he'd go well. It'd be a big price. John Joe O'Neill back in form at Bangor, foundation man. Ran really well last time on, you know, a fair while ago, but on ground much softer than he likes. The ground's dried out. The trainer seems to be coming back in form. I think that'll run well. Dan Skelton has won at Bangor as well in the 4 o'clock. Stick to the plan. Carrying 12 stone, debut in a handicap. Chase debut in a handicap. He's got a good record there. 36% strike rate when they carry more than 11.7. He's got 12 stone on his back.
And for the Goliath.
Big Sound, 6.35 Utoxa, hasn't run for nearly 2 years. But it's interesting they brought it back at Utoxa. The form figures 2.211, 5.141. And back to the same mark as when it last won.
Lovely stuff. Nap time.
This will not be beaten.
Rob Catterson, assuming you're still alive and haven't died of old age during those two long speeches, what's your nap?
Yeah, I'm still here. Right, going to go for a big one in the big race. In the Lockinge, the 3.40 at Newbury, all in on Sudowa.
Lovely stuff. DJ.
Oh, Massar. 3 o'clock Newbury, crying out for a mile or two.
And Paul Keeley.
Juliet Capulet, 1.50 Newbury.
Well done, lads. Sunday next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hi there, it's Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers. Rob Catterson looking ahead to Sunday's racing. It is not exactly dripping with quality, but it may well be dripping with winners. Hopefully the lads have had a good look. We'll start at Nace, the big race there, the 4.15, the Goff's Lacken Stakes. It's a Group 3. I don't think we've got betting, Rob, but hopefully we've got a winner from you.
Yeah, it's actually a good card at Nace. There's quite a few good races. I thought that the Lacken Stakes was probably the trappiest of them all. The Brogie Man obviously won at Navan for Gerald Mussey and Adrian Keatley the last day. Aidan's got 3. I just thought Joseph might hold the key here. And Now Your Tour or Speaking Colours, I just thought with Dunica on board, he's got very little. He's got a few pounds of founding ratings. I just thought he might be value. Joseph's horse is just starting to fire, so I just thought he might be one. But it's very trappy.
Very trappy, according to Rob. Is it trappy in your eyes, DJ?
Bruce, you're being very harsh here on Nace. This is dripping with quality.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you've got a list of race at 2.40. You've got a list of race at 3.15. You've got a list of race at 3.45. You've got a Group 3 at 4.15. And then you've got a really good handicap. So
I take it back.
Yeah, it's like a tap. It's dripping a little bit with quality. But I think the one I really like, and it's actually an English horse, is Chessman in the 2.40, the Owenstown Stud Stakes. It's a listed race. Now, they're all quite evenly matched here, and Chessman's only rated 100. This Brother Bear's rated 102, and there's a few of them that are rated higher than Chessman, but I think this will win. It's gone to Archie Watson, formerly with John Gosden. Finished 7th in the Jersey last season. Was a bit unlucky. He was beaten by kind of tight margins twice last season, beaten by Bacchus at Newbury, then was beaten by Silent Echo at Haydock, a neck both times. I think Chessman is a really good colt. Was 3rd to Gelotta on its comeback, first run for Archie Watson in a conditions race at Kempton. Arrod was 2nd that day, And Arad has obviously franked the form since by beating Otis as Us at Windsor during the week. I think that Chessman just has the kind of class edge in a race like this. The likes of, you know, Rizzy Ann, Brother Bear, Jewel Maker, I don't think they've achieved as much as Chessman has achieved, so I'd be pretty strong. Archie Watson has booked Wayne Lorden for the ride and mightn't be that short of a price on Saturday night. It's one that will be backed, I think. I think the Shrewdies, like myself, will get stuck into Chessman or Paul even. So that is in the 240. And the other one, Sergei Prokofiev, will obviously be an unbackable price in the 315. But the stuff coming out of Ballydoyle is that this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not Sam Crow, it's Sergei Prokofiev. Did I pronounce that right? They think he'll win the Coventry, and he will win the Rochestown Stud Stakes at 3:15. And in the 3:45, this is a really interesting
You're
race.
You're certainly not like a tap, are you? You can't turn you off, can we? Jesus
well,
Christ.
You can. Will I shut up now?
No, go on.
All right, in the 3:45, So Perfect is going to be short here for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. But don't be surprised to see a hell of a run from Surveillance, who was second to Andre Amar at Dundalk, but only got the message really late there. I think she's a filly with a big future. That's Surveillance in the 3:45. That'll be a huge price. But it's all about Chessman for me at Nace on Sunday, Bruce.
When you're doing your wedding and you do the ceremony and you plan and you know who's going to do what when, you know, the band are going to start at 9 o'clock, how much time have you put in for your speech?
Well, see, this is the thing, Bruce. Everybody is going to be coming to my wedding expecting this really long speech. And what
expecting
I'm actually,
or dreading?
Yeah, well, dreading probably. Yeah, see, that's the point. See, I don't want them dreading it, so I'm going to keep it really, really short.
You're incapable. Kiels, do you fancy anything at Nace?
I was quite interested in that Speaking Colours as well. So, it was trained by Michael Botti last year, and he said he thought it might be a Commonwealth Cup horse for this season. I don't know where they moved him, but it hasn't done him very harm, judging by his return when he just got beat. And I think he'll come on for it. So.
Okay, Rob, anything else on the Nace card that's dripping like a tap with quality?
Yeah, well, if you do fancy Sergei Prokofiev, we're fours for the Coventry, so if it's true what DJ says,
take that.
It'll be probably 4-6 on Sunday night. I thought Dermot had a good chance in the opening filly's maiden. Lajidal, she's an Oaks entry. Dermot's got a 22% strike rate.
Who's
with his
Dermot
three-year-old.
Dermot to you, is he?
Or Mr. Weld or Dermot Weld, whatever you fancy. But Dermot Weld, Lajidal, 205. She's an Oaks entry. Thought she could go well. And in the 5:15 Gunmaker, he's one of two for Gavin Cromwell. He wasn't fancied when he won at Dundalk in his first start for Gavin. And Wayne Lorden's on board, so he's only £9 higher, but I think he could win the 5:15.
DJ, do you know Sergei Prokofiev's greatest hit?
I didn't even know what he was.
He's a composer. I'll sing it. It's the one that a lot of football teams come out to. Da 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 na 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 na. You know that one?
Oh, I bizarrely, not because of you singing it, but I actually think I do.
Okay, jolly good. Yeah. Kiels, we've also got racing at Limerick, Stratford, Market Raisin and Ripon this Sunday. Have you dug anything out for us?
One each of the Britons at the British. 5 o'clock at Ripon, Captain Lars. It's very horse this. He went down £11 on turf last year from 83 to 72. And he then went back up on the all-weather only up to 82. So he's £10. He's £10 lower on the all-weather he's £10 higher on the all-weather than he is on turf. And on his best form, he's a £6 better horse on turf than he is on the all-weather. He actually returned to turf last time. Was fourth at Catterick, but from stall nine. I think he has to go well. He's also got a £7 claimer on. Takes him down to a very low mark in a bad race. I think he'll go well. Finger on the switch, one of my previous cliff horses that I kicked off the cliff just before he won at Huntingdon last time at 8-1. I think that'll go well again at Stratford. Likes good ground, looks like it's come back to form and still well handicapped. And in the 3:50 at Market Raisin, Sky Khan, 9-year-old that's been well handicapped for ages, ran from £3 out of the handicap at Ayr on Scottish Grand National Day, finished second to Moon Racer. Really, really good run at 16-1. Has won two of his four starts at Market Raisin.
Thank you, Kiels. Anything else from you, DJ?
No, I'm petrified.
No, it's all right if you've got one.
I did have one. I was going to shut up, but it's one against Paul in the 3:50 at Market Raisin. I thought Midnight Maestro would win that for Alan King, owned by JP McManus. I don't think we've seen the best of Midnight Maestro. It was beaten last time at Plumpton, went off favour under Wayne Hutchinson. Travel like a good horse, I thought, there for a long way. Was second to Rothman. It was beaten six lengths in the end, but I thought it ran better than getting beaten six lengths. I thought that was a decent enough race, as good as this race, and he's only gone up £1 for it. So I think maybe a track like Market Raisin could be better suited than Plumpton. So Midnight Maestro in the 350.
Good man. Anything else from you, Rob?
Yeah, three at Limerick. I thought Roshan should take plenty of beating in the beginner's chase at 345 or 335. He bounced, or he had a good reappearance when he won on the flat. Thanks for teeing the 435, the mare's chase. She was just touched off at Killarney earlier in the week. And in the bumper, at a big price, Russian Soldier. There was an awful lot of money for this lad when he ran at Navan. He disappointed on that occasion, but it was money from shrewd judges. So Luke Comer's Russian Soldier in the 535 at Limerick on Sunday might be one to get you out of jail.
Lovely. That sounds like a very strong tip to end the show with. Rob, what's the weekend hold? It's always the same for you, isn't it? Working both days.
Myself and DJ were off golfing earlier in the week, so I'm office bound anyway this weekend. I don't know about him.
You're what? You're office bound. Oh, right, I see. Yeah. Who won at golf?
I think DJ might have beaten me by one or two.
All right. Okay. DJ, what have you got lined up, mate?
I think he's been very nice to me there, I think. I am at Navan, my local track, tomorrow, and I'm at Nace on Sunday. And we're actually finalising the guest list Sunday night. So big night, yeah.
Is that where me and Kills find out whether we're in or out?
Yeah, it could be one or the other.
I've taken a backward step here, haven't I?
Yeah, you're gone after today.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be heckling my speech and everything.
I won't, of course not. I promise
Shut
you,
up,
I won't.
DJ.
Give him more wine.
Okay, mate, listen, honestly, I know you've got 38,000 cousins, but I'll come to the night, dude. It's not far to come, is it? Kiels, I guess you're shooting off to Windsor in a minute to pitch your tent and get a nice spot for the wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I love all of that. Did you see that Brian Bilston poem?
No.
So I read it out. It's bloody funny.
Is it rude?
No. It's not rude. Really liked it. I just really
You do know
really
that the jelly, we're her favourite paper here, yeah? You're not going to nose that up.
No. It's quite funny, though, but it's worth a read. Worth a read. Here we go. Your invitation is most kind, but with regret I must decline to watch your wedding on TV. I have a clash that day, you see. My diary contains a note to coat my head with creosote. Then count 10,000 grains of sand. I do so hope you understand. But even then, when that is done, there's a project I've just begun to sort my bookshelves once again, this time by ISBN. I'd love to watch, if not for that, I'd even plan to wear a hat, the kind which I might pull right down to block out sight and muffle sound. The one before I messed up too, the last time you lot had ado, I double booked just like a fool, watching mould grow, as I recall. I hope this doesn't spoil your day, it's unavoidable, like I say. The highlights I would watch instead, but I'm listening to The Queen is Dead.
Little editing decision to be made before this goes out there. What are you doing, Kielsen?
Well, I'm not watching that, but no. I have to be out of the house because the missus and my daughter do want to watch it, so I'll be watching racing somewhere, feigning interest in the FA Cup final later on and then drinking.
Okay, and Sunday?
Recovering, probably.
Excellent. Okay, jolly good. Thank you, chaps. That's the OBE gone out the window. We're back I'm not back on Monday, but I think Maddie will be back on Monday to look back on the weekend and ahead to what we've got coming up. So do join us for that. And if you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.